Hi, I'm Ali Portee, fashion and lifestyle journalist and editor of Zayla magazine. I've always been interested in biographies and in the stories of people's lives, basically listening to what stirs their souls. Welcome to the Soulful Side of Life, where I let you in on some of my conversations with inspiring people from around the world in fashion, faith, entertainment, music, and entrepreneurship. These are conversations that stir the soul about people's journeys, about the ups and downs of life, and how they have overcome certain situations. I hope that these episodes will inspire your life in some way, so enjoy over a cup of something hot or on your drive to work. This is The Soulful Side of Life and can be found on Spotify Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. Ronnie Zakim was the first fashion designer that invited me to his atelier and sit down to have a chat. And I was new to this whole fashion scene. And I remember making my way to Cinefil, where his showroom is in Beirut, to the Zakim Tower. And I was like, wow, it was cool for me. And he's ever gracious and he's detailed. And he makes sure to do the right thing, whether that's in fashion, as a designer, or in how he treats people. He's also ever astute. You get a consistent person in Ronnie, and I'm blessed to call him friend. He's trained in interior architecture at the Lebanese American University, LAU, in Beirut, and in fashion design at Parsons in New York City. And he's able to bring the two worlds of interior architecture together with fashion to create some of the most carefully crafted couture, ready-to-wear, and bridal silhouettes. In this podcast interview, we talk about the importance of having ready-to-wear for plus-size women in the Arab market, which is a rarity that's slowly being tackled by Arab designers. But Ronnie is the first one to do it with his 2009 ready-to-wear collection. And he now focuses solely on private clients at the moment. It's nice to see designers like Ronnie, whose niche is focused on creating sought-after looks for all women in all women's shapes. So enjoy this podcast chat with Ronnie Zakim. Thanks for joining the podcast, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me, Ali.
Happy to do so. So the purpose and theme of this podcast is you being the first Arab designer to tackle plus size looks for women. But before getting into that, can you talk a little bit about what inspired you to become a fashion designer in the first place?
So a little about myself and my background. I'm a Lebanese designer. I was born in Beirut. I was raised in Nairobi, Kenya. I spent my childhood in Nairobi, Kenya. And then I spent my teenage adolescent years in Lebanon. I studied interior architecture at the Lebanese American University, and then I studied fashion design at Parsons School of Design in New York City. And so I've always been attracted by architecture and fashion from a young age. When I was a kid, I was very, very drawn by the fashion magazines that my dad used to bring my mom from business trips, like Vogue and Harper's Bazaar and Vanity Fair and Town and Country. So I thought they were just so beautiful and such beauty in general, like beautiful people, beautiful clothes, beautiful architecture, beautiful art of living. Mm. So That I think it played a huge imprint on my mind and my imagination. And definitely, my mother was a big fashion aficionado, so that definitely has its influence for sure.
And when you were a child, she would go. I remember you telling me she would go like Robert Abinader and get her dresses made. Would you go with her to fittings, or you would just, okay.
Was like in my early teens, I would go with her to fittings when she'd have couture dresses made. So I found it riveting, really. I mean, it was just the whole process, doing a muslin, having a fitting, the excruciating amount of work, the hours put into it, the beautiful fabrics. So it's really it's an art form.
It is. And would you say that having your architectural degree makes you think about fashion in a different way as a designer, as opposed to if you would have just gone to design school and not
Of
architectural?
course, because it makes you think more of proportions, of patterns. So, like I as an architect, interior architect, you draw plans, you draw elevations, you draw sections. So you kind of have like a 3D kind of realm of things, and you conceptualize clothes and think of them sort of in the same way.
Okay, gotcha. And I'm curious, having lived in Kenya, the shape of the black woman can be different. I would say also for even like Mexican women, curvier and whatnot. Did that inspire you to want to design for plus size women, or was it something else?
That wasn't a main motive. It was definitely, it was definitely in the back of my mind for sure. What really stuck in my mind from my childhood in Africa were the colors, textiles, their waxed cotton that they do their kangas from, and their formal wear. So their waxed cotton prints were just something that brings me a lot of joy when I look at them. Definitely the very, very strong colors from nature, flowers, the ocean, the Indian Ocean, the blues, the sand colors, the flowers, the exotic flowers, the wildlife. As a kid, when when I visited Lake Naivasha, the flamingos, Masai Mara. So it's all things, that stay with you for
A long time. Forever.
life.
Yeah.
At one, I mean, for a large part of my life, I was surrounded with African women, and yeah, of course they have contours and curvaceous shapes, but that was not the main reason. I mean, at one point my mom was a larger, more curvaceous, was considered a plus size, if you like. But then when I was at school at Parsons, my draping professor, whom I absolutely adore and salute, I don't know if like she hears this, her name is Professor Luz Pascal. And once she told me in class, she's like, "Rani, everyone wants to become a superstar designer, and everyone beyond the cover of the glossy magazines, but no one really wants to tap into the niche markets and the niche businesses that are where people are in need, like beautiful, beautiful, glamorous clothes for curvier women. There are no designers that cater for them. Children's wear, lingerie, you know, being a technical designer, being a pattern maker. And so the idea of having a plus size line was thrilling, and I thought of it enormously and immensely when I was in college. And I thought, that's actually a really good idea. And that was where the idea stemmed from.
Gotcha. Really. Okay.
Because I always feel the frustration in curvier women that they would never find beautiful clothes, and they would always be like, but why can't you make clothes like this for our size?
Yeah.
So it...
And it's frustrating being curvy.
It rang a bell.
Yeah, and that's... And it helps seeing your mom, probably, and her frustrations. And...
The only brand that catered, that did beautiful clothes with... great fabrics was Marina Rinaldi. And at one point there was one beautiful, beautiful, beautiful American brand that I don't think is in existence anymore. It's called The Forgotten Women. That did really beautiful. And that was it.
Yeah.
So that was how the idea and the concept started.
And I think it's still a problem in fashion. I've got a good friend in Italy, and she has a hard time. Yeah.
When I started, sorry, I'm interrupting.
No.
When I started, I got a lot of backlash from people in the industry.
It's unfortunate.
You know, you should design for thinner women, and you should increase your size range. And it's funny that 14 years later, I was hard because everyone right now is talking about inclusivity, diversity, and those are things that were already in my vocabulary when I started. I mean, I have dressed women of all ages, all backgrounds, all ethnicities, all sizes, from a size zero to a size, I don't know, like 18, 20.
Yeah. And it's frustrating because being a curvy woman with a small waist, it's just, everything stops at the hips. And it's hard to find, I think, especially in couture, something that will fit. And I have a heart for those who are 1X, 2X, 3X, 4X, because you have to have something maybe custom made, especially in couture. In countries like Italy, like my Italian friend, she has to find things in the U.S. because I think Italy and France are still a bit snobbish to plus size women. So you were the first Arab designer for plus size. There was nobody before you doing this in the Arab couture world?
I mean, when I started, I launched a ready-to-wear line. All Arab designers definitely cater to fuller-figured private clients. But never something that was mainstream having a ready-to-wear line that was available for them off the rack.
Why would you say that is? Because there are curvy plus size women in the Arab world. Why wasn't there ready to wear for Arab women before you?
I think because it's just it was the standard industry sizing.
Is there a snobbery in the Arab world to not be
I think there's
curvy?
robbery everywhere, not just in the.
And it's
There's a
unfortunate because
everywhere because
there's women of all shapes and sizes in every country. So, and not
yeah,
every
and
woman
even
is thin.
started, even when I started, I mean, people, journalists would talk about this being an issue, but then when you'd contact them, they wouldn't really give you the time of day. And then you could see that the standards and the shift in the industry when Saks, for example, in New York had an entire floor called Salon Z that used to cater to fuller figured and larger sized ladies that was wiped out completely. Or fuller figured clothing was usually in the basement of department stores. So it's kind of like they were shunned out, or it's an embarrassment, or so yeah, definitely there's a snobbery everywhere.
It's unfortunate because everybody has different shape size women in their families. So it's not like everybody's just seeing thinner women. So, okay, when you created your ready to wear line, what year was this? And how well was 2008? Okay,
Nine.
nine. And how was it received?
It was I would say it was lukewarm. It wasn't, it was positive, but it and I was selling all throughout points of sale in the Middle East, and I got a couple of points of sale in the States, and one or two in Europe. It was positive, but it needed more momentum.
And why haven't you, or have you created since then more ready to wear plus size pieces? Do you think that if you did a collection now, it would be received better? Because post-COVID, there's a push on this diversity and inclusion.
I wouldn't limit myself to just doing a collection right now for curvier women because the size range has always been available. It was never a restriction. It was never restricted. It wasn't like, I'm only doing a size 0 to 12 or 0 to 10. It was always available for clients and customers and retailers to go up in sizing.
They just never really did, I guess. Yeah, that's the thing. What in your opinion, what can fashion do better with plus size women? Just go up in those offerings and
Not
have
just
it.
go up with offerings. I mean, I've seen a lot of designers do some designs for fuller figured women, but they're just off. Like they have cutouts in really awkward places in the body. It's not like just doing it to do it. It has to be re like really nice clothes.
Because,
Not just kind of like I feel like some pieces are like revenge pieces, you know, like I mean, they're not flattering, they're kind of like it's not a vengeance or a vendetta. It's like making beautiful clothes.
Sure. For sure.
I don't know. Sound weird?
No, it does. And I think as a curvy person myself, the frustrating part is I feel like a lot of clothes aren't cut well in the right places. And when I see something on the rack, I wish, oh, I wish that would fit well for me and all and be cut in all the right places. I think there needs to be attention to flattering pieces for all shaped women in all the right places. And
100%.
curvy women would like to be able to wear what a size 2 woman can wear. And I think it's possible if it's cut well and draped well and yeah.
100%.
I would like to see more. I don't recall last year seeing hardly any plus size pieces on the runway for the top brands of the world. What comes to mind is Giorgio Baea putting like 2 or 3 plus size pieces in his collections. And it was kind of like a breath of fresh air, like, wow, this is a real plus size woman coming down the runway, and there's a dress that's fitting this girl in all the right places. I wish I saw that more with Valentino and Dior, and Pier Paolo's so big on this inclusion and diversity, but I didn't see
I mean,
many.
they did have some big girls on the runway a couple of times.
Yeah, but and they're in his signature silhouettes of like a, I don't know, like a tent style dress. And those are great Valentino looks. But I don't recall seeing really fitted column style dresses for curvy women. There's sometimes you don't want to wear a, what's it called? Yeah. Yeah. And, I think they could do better, the big European brands. Even well, I don't follow the what's happening in New York and what those designers are doing. Maybe they are producing for all shapes of women, but yeah, it's important in the Middle East, and there's a lot of women, even in the royal families of the Middle East, who where the women aren't thin, stick figured women, and I guess they're just getting their outfits custom made. They would probably be delighted to have a design or several designers, Arab designers, who are creating options for them and ready to wear.
100%.
Yeah. So, yeah. As we were saying before this interview, that there needs to be a reset in fashion, and I think, the silhouette offerings on the fashion side needs to be reset as well, and the riders giving attention to plus size.
The buyers, the department stores, it's cyclical. It's a whole chain. It's vertically integrated. I mean, it doesn't mean if it's something that is a larger size that it has to be poorly made or bad fabric. I mean,
Just,
because
yeah.
people associate being fully figured with low self-esteem, but it doesn't have to be. Some people are, you know, genetically predisposed or, you know, whatever. It's not something that has to be kind of like a cookie cutter that's you pigeonhole people in.
Do you see with other Arab designers a trying to be more inclusive in terms of the different silhouette shapes? Do you see some change in the Arab world for designers?
Some are inclusive, yes. Some designers already have that in their offering. Some other designers do it in couture, with private, but
not in ready to wear.
No.
So a concluding question: will you be creating any new collections on the runway in the next few seasons, or do you just stay and cater to private clients?
At the moment, I'm catering to private clients, but I would like to definitely create a new collection for the runway, or, you know, just as a new offering.
Yeah, because you are a very gifted designer.
Thank you, Ali.
Yeah, so this has been a great conversation. I think my takeaway is that all designers need to make this more a part of the conversation.
Of course.
And definitely we're not seeing
something
that.
That needs to be readily available, that needs to be not looked down on, not frowned upon, that needs to be lush and beautiful like any other clothing offering. People should not be denigrated because of their size.
And I think that comes with educating people that just because you have some curves in this or that part of your body, it doesn't mean you're unhealthy or lazy or fat. It's what you were saying earlier. There's a genetic disposition that no matter how much you go out there and run around the block, you're going to have a shape to your body, and there's nothing you can do about it. So just educating people on what body shape means and genetic predispositions to it.
And really, really my core ideology is just making beautiful clothes for everyone.
Yeah. No matter your shape.
I don't want to be like clothes for curvier women that are nonsensical, that have cutouts where they shouldn't have, that are just you know, trying to make a statement that's statementless.
Yeah. And that requires a designer, especially a male designer, having some female friends to tell them this is what women like. I had a discussion with Ava Cavalli once, and she was saying men designers think they know what women find sexy, but she said, I'm a woman and I know what women find comfortable and attractive. And I think it requires men designers to have a lot of female friends.
I agree, because eventually, I'm a designer. I help with my client's vision, but ultimately, she's the one living her life in the dress. She needs to feel good. She needs to feel self-confident. I am a helping hand, helping and assisting her achieve her goal.
Yeah.
And when I have clients calling me and telling me, "Thank you, I felt extremely beautiful tonight," or "I've never felt better,"
Yeah.
or "I got so many compliments." That brings so much joy and happiness to my craft.
Yeah, for sure. And as a curvy woman, I don't want cutouts in a dress. I just want everything to
I
fit well around my curves.
100%. I mean, I don't know if you saw, I personally thought it was outstanding. Was John Galliano's last couture collection for Martin Margiela.
Yeah.
I mean, there are definitely more curvaceous women on that catwalk, and that show was just
Yeah.
exquisite.
Yeah. It was. He got so m much applause for that collection. Yeah.
It was just exquisite. I mean, wow.
Yeah. And the world
Everything.
is wanting this. And I think this is what designers need to give, that availability of what's available for all women. And us writers need to be putting this at the forefront in our writing. It requires everybody taking part. So.
Maybe the only one of the designers actually that did a couple of looks that I found quite beautiful for a curvier women was Wes Gordon at Carolina Herrera.
Okay, I need to take a look at that collection.
For a couple of seasons now, I think for a couple of years, not just for a couple of seasons. He has done some really beautiful pieces that I find elegant, feminine, any woman would want to wear, regardless of her size.
Yeah,
And
tasteful.
that's the key.
Yeah.
That's it's actually creating a dream that anyone would love to wear.
Yeah. Just making everyone feel like they're at a part of the table to sit down. Yeah.
100.
Yeah.
And that's the key to inclusivity, is that everyone has a place at the table and everyone feels special and not secluded or excluded.
Yeah, like a princess, yeah, no matter what who the brand is. So
100%.
good on you for starting this. Your story does need to be told, though, that you created that first ready-to-wear collection in 2009 for plus-size women in the Middle East. So, yeah. Good on you. Well,
Thanks.
thank you for taking the time to have this chat.
My pleasure, Ali.
Yes.
Anytime.
I hope that you enjoyed this podcast episode and that you have found a soulful connection to the conversation. God bless you, and until the next episode, go bless somebody else.